Thank you for being a participant. Can you tell me a little bit about your family, your childhood, and where you grew up?
I grew up in Easton, Pennsylvania. I was born at Easton Hospital. And I am the first of two children. My father was a self-employed butcher in Easton, and he did not have any college education. My mother, but he was from Philadelphia. My mother was born and raised in Easton, and she had been trained as a nurse, but she did not work outside the home. And we lived near 25th Street in Easton, and I have a younger brother who's 6 years younger than I am. And it was a typical middle class upbringing. I went to parochial school. I was raised Catholic. And as I mentioned before, my mother was home full time. My father worked a lot. But no one on either side of the family had gone to college before I did.
Can you tell me about your high school, the academic and social atmosphere?
I went to the local Catholic high school. It was a co-ed school and a small school. I think there were about 150 students in my class. And what can I say about it? It was, I think, as with a lot of other people, I thought they were the worst years of my life. But that was primarily because I didn't like a lot of things about myself. I was a good student in high school, and I was shy. And but I was in the band, and I had a lot of friends. And I dated the last 2 years in high school. So overall, looking back, it was a good experience, I think.
Do you think you were well prepared for higher education?
Yes, I think so. I had a good, solid education and felt prepared.
Did most female students from your high school go on to college?
That's an interesting question. Let me see. I would say a good percentage went on to college. Maybe not as many as now, but it wasn't unusual to go to college for a girl. But looking back, I think just about every girl from high school who went to college was either going to be a teacher or a nurse, and that was my goal. I liked English a lot, and I was going to be an English teacher. So there wasn't too much diversity in the careers that the women were interested in.
So at what point did you decide that you wanted to go to college?
I don't know that it was a conscious decision. I think it was, I had always done very well in school and was at the top of my class, and so my parents assumed I would go to college, and I assumed I would go to college, but as I said, I assumed I would do something very traditional, which would be to be a teacher, and my parents, I think, assumed that after college I would get married and not work and stay home full time. So it was very traditional expectations for how I'd live my life.
During high school, were you aware that a lot of colleges, like Lafayette, were starting to go co-ed? And if you were aware, what did you think about this?
Well, I didn't really think about Lafayette as a choice when I was in high school, because I didn't want to be at home, so I was actually thinking of going somewhere else. And I had a lot of different ideas about where I wanted to go to school that did not include, say, an all-girls school. I was interested in either an experimental school. I remember there's a school, I think it was called the New College in Florida that had just opened up. And I wasn't really a hippie or anything like that, but I was
sort of interested in more intellectual experimentation. And I was also interested in going to perhaps a large co-ed school. I was interested in the University of Pennsylvania. What happened was that my parents felt very strongly that I should go to an all-girls Catholic college. And I think that fit in with their fantasy that I'd meet a nice boy from an all-boys Catholic college and get married after college and live happily ever after. So actually they sort of sabotaged my investigation of these different schools. And I ended up going to a Catholic all-girls college in Philadelphia, Chestnut Hill College, for my first year, where I was very unhappy.
What schools did you apply to other than Chestnut Hill?
Oh, they were pretty much all the Catholic girls' schools in Philadelphia, Immaculata, Queen of Mercy. I think there's another one down there somewhere. I'll kind of block it out. But I was pretty much railroaded into doing that and didn't fight it, but ended up rebelling in my own way after I got there.
Can you tell me about your overall experience at Chestnut Hill?
I was rather unhappy there, and I didn't like being in the all-girls atmosphere. And I didn't think it was very intellectually stimulating. And I was also questioning my religion at that point and reading a lot of... I was interested in I mean, I thought it was radical politics, but as I said before, it wasn't anything like the Weathermen or the STS or SES or any of those things that were going on in the 60s. But I knew I'd have to transfer out, but I wasn't happy yet.
When did you decide that you were going to transfer?
Well, I think I decided fairly on in my freshman year, and then I wasn't sure how to deal with my parents or how to pull this off. And then in the meantime, in my personal life, I had a turn of events where I ended up eloping and had a baby. It would have been I finished up my freshman year at Chestnut Hill, but I got married, eloped, and had a baby this summer of that next year, so that would have been Sunday 1970. And so with all that going on in my life, I decided to put college on hold for a while. My husband was only 2 years older than I was, and he was going to school part-time. So I guess when my son was, he was almost a year old, I took a full-time job so that my husband could finish his college degree, and we moved back to the Lehigh Valley. And I was still very interested in my own education, though, so beside working full-time and having a baby, I took courses at Northampton County Community College in the evening school. So, and I picked courses that I knew would transfer somewhere. So I didn't know where I was going to go, but that was my long-range plan, is get him through school, and then I would transfer somewhere and I would finish up. But what happened is that the marriage failed and we broke up when my son was two. So that was 1972. And I moved back in with my parents in Easton. And at that point, my father said that I could live with him, and if I wanted to go back to school full time, that he would help me out so that I could do that and finish my education, because I decided I was going to get a divorce at that stage. So, so then the question came up where I wanted to go to school. So the whole decision was really driven geographically because I had to live at home with my father. So what I did was I looked at all the colleges in the Lehigh Valley, Moravian, Muhlenberg, and Lafayette and Lehigh, to see which one I thought would be the best for me. And at looking at all the schools, I decided that Lafayette would be the best school. And frankly, I don't remember considering much about their having gone co-ed recently. So they would have had women there for just 2 years. I mean, I guess I knew that it was newly co-ed, but I didn't really think that much about that. I guess in a way I'm a very atypical student, because at that point I was really driven not only by my desire to get an education, but by some very practical considerations, one of which was that I had to live in the area, and I was really looking at what I thought academically would be the best school without factoring in social life or extracurricular activities. I really didn't care. I think if at that age I was single and never been married and looking at colleges, I would have had concerns about the fact that there weren't many women on campus, but for me it really wasn't an issue because I had other considerations.
So Lafayette was the best then because of its location and it was academically better than the others?
I think so. I thought so then. Still do.
So what was it like coming into the school as a transfer student and also with your particular background?
Well, it was a good experience. By that point, I had been in two different colleges. I'd been in an all-girls small liberal arts college, and I had gone to a community college. And I was really excited to be at Lafayette because the courses were very exciting and the professors were very good. And I think the students overall were higher caliber, so it made it an interesting place. So I was really happy to be there.
Was it easy to make the transition socially, especially since you were living at home?
Well, in terms of social life, I really did not get involved socially a whole lot at Lafayette because I, number one, lived off campus. Number two, was a divorced single parent. And although I was only 1 year older, because I had gone to community college for 2 years, so I was really 1 year older than my peer group. I should have been a senior that year, and instead I was a junior because of the way I'd taken my courses. I don't know, I just felt like I was in a whole different space and really didn't have that much time to socialize. I had friends in the Lehigh Valley from when I was married, and I really didn't keep up with friends from high school, but I did already have a network of friends outside of Lafayette. So I didn't need to socialize that much, and I didn't have that much time, so I really didn't get friendly with that many people.
Did you ever eat on campus, or did you eat all your meals at home?
See if I can remember. I must have eaten lunch on campus, but I'm trying to remember. I don't remember much about the food. There was a little snack bar down in the bottom of the marquee. Well, I guess it was there up until the time they built the Fairmont. So I had lunch there, but it was, you know, burgers and salad.
Even though you transferred in and you were living at home, from the sense you got of the women there that you met, did it seem like the women stuck together at all because there were so few of them?
Hmm. Well, it's an interesting question. I didn't have that experience, but probably because I wasn't that involved. I made friends with a few women, and I made friends with a few men, and they were generally people that I was having class with at the time. So I didn't meet with more women than I did men. So I didn't have that experience. Although in the past, and going back to high school, I had thought I was going to be an English major and had thought about getting a PhD in English and maybe being a college professor. I had changed what I wanted to do by the time I got to Lafayette. And when I started at Lafayette, I think because of my questioning my religion, doing a lot of reading, and being interested in more left-wing political developments and religious developments, I decided I wanted to be a philosophy major. And I did graduate as a philosophy major. But at the same time, all these other things were going on in my life, and my intellectual interests were changing. Number one, I knew that as a divorced single parent, I wanted to be financially independent. And of course, this was the time of the women's movement anyway, so that's what people were writing about and reading about was feminism, and I was very interested in feminism. But I had the experience of having been in a bad marriage, so I was very personally motivated to never have to be dependent on a man for anything financially. So that made me think I better find a career where I can support myself. And so even though I was interested in philosophy and still in literature intellectually, I came to the conclusion that I really couldn't afford to just take a number of years and usually get a PhD and then hope I could get a job, because the job scene wasn't very good for PhDs in. So that was one issue in terms of my career interest. And the second thing was that same year I started at Lafayette, my mother died of breast cancer. She was very sick and was in and out of Easton Hospital. And that was a powerful experience. In a lot of ways, one of which was that was the era when doctors didn't talk to patients about what their diagnosis was, and nobody was really talking about the fact that she was dying, and yet everybody knew she was dying. And here I was just 21 years old, and I remember leaving the hospital one day thinking, well, I could do a better job than those guys, her doctors. So even though I really never thought of myself as a science person, I began thinking that perhaps I was the sort of person who could be a doctor and might be a better doctor than the kind of doctors they were. So here I was looking for a career where I could be independent and also having some interest in medicine. It's a sort of a long-winded tale, but what I'm trying to get at is really answering your question. Is that although I decided to stick with philosophy as a major, I also decided I was going to take the pre-med courses I needed to go to medical school. You're asking about whether women stick together. I haven't forgotten the question. Taking pre-med courses meant taking, I had already had biology, so I had to take chemistry and organic chemistry and physics. And that threw me in with other people who considered themselves pre-med, and there were a fair number of people, there were then anyway, who were pre-med. And I was amazed to find out what a non-collegial group that was, really, one could use the word cutthroat. In labs it was difficult to, people wouldn't work together, most of the people wouldn't work together because they were so competitive. And I guess they thought that it'd look better if you look worse, so people didn't help each other. And there weren't many women in the science courses, but with the women were a little more collaborative in working together. But that was my overall impression, that as a group, pre-med students, whether they were men or women, were pretty cutthroat. So it wasn't a very supportive experience that way. To finally answer your question.
How did students or professors react when they found out that you had a son?
Most of them didn't know it because I didn't talk about it, and that was, I think that's, although things have gotten better in 30 years in that regard, I think it's still the case that a lot of times if women have extra responsibilities or obligations, especially regarding children, they don't even say anything about it. So the people that I took several classes with, the philosophy professors in particular, I mean, they knew about it, but I don't remember it being an issue at all.
Did you ever feel treated differently by your male peers because you were a woman?
No, not the students. There were problems with faculty more than with students. I don't remember a problem with any of the students, you know, saying like even the pre-med students, if the male pre-med students, it wasn't, the attitude wasn't, well, you shouldn't be pre-med because you're a woman. It was just, you know, they were all trying to get their A's in organic, so it was based on that. It wasn't really sexist. But with the faculty, it was.
What kind of issues did you have with faculty?
Well, I think what was the most annoying, and still gets me upset when I think about it, was that with several different people, people that really didn't know me or anything about me, that if I brought up the fact that I was interested in early medicine, that the automatic reaction was, you shouldn't do that. And there were two examples. One was I went to see one of the science professors. I won't even say what department it was, but I went to see him. I'd never seen him before. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know what my grades were, my background, or anything about me at all. And I just went to him with my general question was that I was a humanities major. I was interested in applying to medical school. I was definitely taking all the basic pre-med courses, but there were some other courses that were not required, and I was wondering whether he would recommend them or how important they might be. Things like, say, biochemistry or physical chemistry, other higher level courses that weren't required. And the first thing out of his mouth was, well, have you considered being a nurse? You know, it was that kind of stuff, which was really annoying. I mean, certainly said that to a male student. And one of the other faculty members who did know that, well, actually, I don't know if this person knew I had a child or not. But I talked to them and about being interested in medicine, and this person was actually a woman, so it made it even better than one, and who had a career and a family. And I said I was interested in medicine, and she said, well, I don't think any women should go into medicine because medicine's not a job you can do part-time, and if you're a woman, you can't have more than a part-time job because you have to do it. You know, so it was distressing to get that kind of, I mean, the lack of encouragement is putting it mildly. And I think if I hadn't been so internally driven to do what I did, I just would have given up.
Did you ever find that kind of sexism, I guess, on the part of the faculty when you were at Chestnut Hill, since it was an all-female school?
No, but I mean, then again, I wasn't interested in being a physician at that point, so I wasn't asking the same kind of question. I mean, I did have the sense that, you know, in a way, you were certainly entitled and encouraged to have an education for whatever you wanted to do. Sorry, it's a little long.
In the spring of 1974, there were a few controversial letters and articles printed in the Lafayette. One news article on streaking stated, "Of course the opportunity exists for the women of Lafayette to streak, but that wouldn't be too unusual. After all, dogs have been running around the campus naked for years." In the same semester, a woman wrote to the paper complaining that a group of 10 Lafayette men had raided her as she passed them at lunch. A man calling himself Studley responded that she sounded like a six-year-old, that women's lib has no leg to stand on, and that 15% of Lafayette women are organ teasers. In later letters, he stated in a somewhat joking manner, after trying to seriously defend himself, "I'm all for women's lib as long as they are in the kitchen by 5. And personally, I love girls. Each guy should own at least 2 of them." Do you remember these incidents? How did you take them at the time? And what do you think of them today?
Well, I don't remember the grading episode in the dining room at all. So, can't say anything about that. I remember streaking, although I can't say I remember the comment at the end of the article about women streaking. Neither one really surprises me, because I think it was my feeling then that there were a lot of very sexist and immature guys on campus, and basically I didn't bother with them, and I didn't have anything to do with any fraternities. And I did have several male friends, and the male friends that I had were terrific guys, and they weren't in any way sexist, so I just kind of ignored it as being ridiculous. I mean, it was really, I guess it wasn't so unusual for the time, and so I didn't focus my energy so much on getting angry about that. I was more upset, because I just wrote these guys off as being ridiculous little boys. I would get very upset with things that came from faculty members, as I mentioned the faculty incidents before, and that continued on in medical school. So it was kind of exhausting to get angry about everything. So I wouldn't get angry about the students. I get angry about the faculty, and I just tried to associate with more mature people. And there were guys on campus that were not sexist at all, and they were just very non-sexist, even feminist people themselves, and very interesting people, so I stayed with them.
When you chose to major in philosophy, was that while you were at Northampton Community College, or when you came to Lafayette?
Well, I entered Lafayette with that as being my declared major. So it was something that I had been thinking about before I transferred in. That was my plan.
What was the male-female ratio in most of your philosophy classes at Lafayette?
Sheesh. Not many women. Well, I don't know. I'd be guessing. Maybe 10 to 1. Maybe not that bad.
How did the philosophy classes compare to your science classes? Just approximately. It
seemed like they were about 10 to 1, too. There were more women in the English courses I took than the psychology.
Did you find that being in such a small minority affected your academic performance at all?
Overall, I don't think it did. One experience that was very helpful, if there were any area where I felt more hesitant and insecure about my abilities, it would have been the sciences, because I hadn't really, although I'd done well enough in high school science, I really didn't feel as confident with my abilities there. And one really terrific thing was that there was a young woman physics professor, Mary Fairs, and she taught the physics course, and that was really great, because she didn't say anything. It wasn't that she said anything blatantly in the classroom about girls can do everything, guys can do it, that sort of thing. But there she was as a woman, who's attractive and really excited about physics. And I still remember in some of her examples, it would be Annie the astronaut. You know, it would just come out, you know, it was like, wouldn't make a big deal of it, but it was, it having an experience like that really made you feel better about things. So that was a positive effect. So it definitely makes a difference, I think, to have women like that on the faculty, and there weren't many at all, so it was terrific when you ran into someone like that.
Did you have any other female instructors?
In philosophy, Rhea Rabinowitz was a philosophy professor. And she was also a fairly young woman. Looking back, she was probably just in her late 20s or maybe 30, just out of school. And she was also a good role model in that she was living independently and doing interesting things. Interested in talking about different things, so it was nice to have her around too.
Did you ever notice if the male students in a class where there's a female instructor related any differently to the women than they would have to a male professor?
I can't say that I noticed anything in that regard.
The women coming in your class had often had better GPAs and SAT scores than the men. Do you think that either the men or women were aware of this?
I wasn't. That explains a lot.
Was there any competition that was specifically between men and women?
Not that I noticed. I mean, as I said in some of the science classes, it was just generally competitive. It wasn't sexist. And in math, it was people were actually pretty collaborative.
Generally, how did most professors treat you?
I would say the way they treated the men, the same way, without any problem. I mean, really, the negative experiences I mentioned before were outside of the classroom, more in terms of career counseling. But I never noticed any differential behavior in how they treated men and women in the classroom.
How would you compare the academics at Lafayette to the academics at Chestnut Hill?
It was a much higher caliber at Lafayette. I thought the professors were more interesting and the students were brighter.
Would you say you had any mentors or favorite people on the faculty or administration?
Probably my biggest mentor is the professor I ended up marrying, who was also my faculty advisor, because he was, he tried to talk me out of majoring in philosophy. Wasn't sure I was going into it for the right reasons. Thought that if I was interested in the big questions, I ought to maybe go to the religion department. He was always very supportive and encouraging of pursuing a career in medicine, and really did everything he could to encourage me to do what I want to do, and let me know that there's no reason why you can't sort of follow your dream and do what you want to do. So that was very, very helpful. And Rhea Rabinowitz was also very encouraging what I want to do here. Probably the two that were the most helpful.
Are there any positive, very positive, or very negative experiences that you had in the classroom that stand out in your mind?
I'd say there's any one thing. No.